In this episode, I'm speaking with Rafael Viloria-Ferrer, Deputy CISO and Global SOC Lead at Nestlé. You probably already know Nestlé, but in short, Nestlé is the world's largest food and beverage company with HQ in Vevey, Switzerland. Rafa has been the head of CyberSOC since 2016. He drives the detect and response, threat intelligence, threat hunting, and vulnerability management agenda of the Nestlé Cyber Resilience Program. Hi everyone and welcome to the second episode of our podcast Better Safe Than Sorry. I'm Nico Capitoni, Cyber Practice Head at Wipro, and I'm your host for the series. Rafa, it's such a privilege to have you on our podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Let's start with awareness and training, right? What would be your advice to foster a culture of cybersecurity awareness within organizations, right? And more importantly, what role does employee training play in this overall security strategy?
Let me start by just highlighting that obviously express my personal views and I'm not speaking on behalf of Nestlé. What I think it's that you have to make it very real. You have to be able to share real examples that people can then relate to it. And so finding a way of creating such a program that connects with people. And the other thing I think helps on this one is to also not to talk only about from the professional side of it, but also linking to the personal life. So the cyber threats are something that employees are facing in their professional dimension, but as well as in their personal lives. And more nowadays, not only in their facet as employees, but maybe as a human beings, parents with their children, etc. So trying to make a security awareness program that is able to relate to people in both dimensions helps on making more meaningful for them. Creating certain inputs about cybersecurity training while people are performing their activities. So when there's something that they do that maybe is a more risky behavior, being able to provide on-the-spot training and indicating why. Those, I think, are approaches that are helpful to make people more interested in cybersecurity and therefore having a long-standing learnings out of it rather than just once a year training of 20 minutes.
So which advice, Rafa, would you give to other SOC leaders and security professionals about staying ahead of emerging threats and regulation changes in the cybersecurity landscape?
Obviously, being ahead is quite difficult. And I think the perception is that in cybersecurity, you are a little bit always behind of some threat actors to a certain extent. So I guess the key point as well is maybe how close you are towards that, relying more and more on the threat intelligence side of the story, driving all your programs, at least within the security operations center, based on threat intelligence. And then the early warnings, having very close monitoring of what is going on, identifying trends, things that are going to move ahead, and then try being very agile to implement your strategies to defend against those threats that are being identified. So I think it's both things. So one, having a very strong threat intelligence program, but second, being very agile on being able to deploy and implement certain controls or security strategies. I think that also is key. With regards to the regulatory changes, that's even harder, I think. Normally, though, some of the what is more security related, I think they come much later versus the threats, because again, regulators, they take some time until they put things in place. But on the area of data privacy, for example, they are growing significantly across the world. And then on the areas of cybersecurity, particularly on the response part, is where they are being more focus on, and in some cases, providing certain requirements that are challenging, being able to report certain incidents in a very short time frame, etc. One of the things that I think is valuable to be ahead is to establish a very strong partnership with the legal function within the companies. Security functions, they do have certain grasp into regulatory changes, but maybe they are not experts. And if your company has a significant geographic presence, being aware of all the different legislations country by country could be very challenging. And that's something that obviously legal functions are best placed for. So what I found more effective is to have that very strong relationship with the legal function so that they also not only look for regulations that are related to the business of the company itself, but also that they are close to the regulations that are related to cybersecurity, privacy, etc. And then by having that strong relationship is not only to be aware of these regulations, but also understanding kind of the legal wording, no? Reading between the lines and getting the perspective from a risk appetite to a certain extent from the legal function of the company. Because again, while there is a regulation, they are never so black and white. So you have to have a good understanding of what the regulation means, how that regulation implements into the given company. And then again, every company has also a little different perspective from a risk appetite point of view. So I would say have a strong cybersecurity threat intelligence program, being very agile to implement new controls, and then having a strong relationship with the legal function within the company.
So, Rafa, in your opinion, what are the most effective strategies to improve organization security posture? And additionally to that, I'm very interested to hear your thought around innovative platform in SOAR, network detection responses, or any other innovation like breach attack surface.
I'm not a fan of buzzwords, but I would say zero trust is a very strong strategy, and that really brings value. Zero trust is a set of principles, so it's not just that there is a checklist for every company to follow, but at least as a concept, something that I found very effective. Now, the other thing that I truly believe is that it's key to ensure that within a security program, you have a very strong foundation, a very strong security hygiene component out of it. No? So normally, sometimes feels that you have to always look at the more sexy solutions, latest things and innovations, which definitely are also important, but we may tend to forget about some basics. And then we see over and over in some of the security incidents we see in the news that they may happen for some rather basic controls in some cases, not always, but in some cases. That's why Zero Trust is a very strong framework, but which already contains certain things around security hygiene, but then having a strong posture, a strong push to make sure that the basics are in place, it's a very one of the most, in my view, effective strategies. Now, once you are at that level where you have confidence that the basics are in place, key controls that are aligned with the zero trust is when I think it's time then to go beyond looking for kind of the crown jewels of the company, those key areas where are really important for the company, and then implement further security controls on those. SOAR is a good example, which covers for both volume, but as well as having implementing things that can go through specific workflows in much faster perspective. But at the same time, that flexibility and that capability to address new threats is something that now we're seeing with solutions like breach and attack simulation that are helping to identify blind spot as well as ensuring that things that you think are covered are actually well covered. So basically it's bringing the reassurance, maybe linking back to what this security hygiene, you know, that you think that certain control is in place, but what we have seen in incidents as well in the industry is that some cases are small blind spots you were not identifying or the controls that are working, but at some point stop working. And solutions like breach attack simulation allow for continuous monitoring of some of those controls and early detection of things that may fail so that they can be timely corrected before actually being exploited by a threat actor. So, and the breach and attack simulation definitely is to ensure that the threat detection capabilities that are being put in place are actually working.
What would be your best advice, Rafa, to retain your top talent? Do you have any advice to share?
So the transparency, I think it's important to first have a culture of transparency in terms of career paths. So being able to show what are the opportunities within the company and what are the limits. No? What if you're going to go farther, maybe then you have to find other company that can provide those challenges. I think that transparency, people feel then comfortable by understanding that the company is there to support, but then at some point, maybe there are no further opportunities within that company, depending on the personal aspirations. The other part is providing as well always challenging projects, understanding what are the interests of every individual, and then provide those challenges for career growth, not only relying on keeping people in the same place that they do a good job, but actually putting them out of their comfort zone so that they can challenge themselves, find challenging things. And these link together with continuous development and continuous learnings. And last but not least, I think in my view, what is important is establishing a kind of people first culture, people first principle within the teams, you know, so that we all live in challenging and fast-paced kind of world. While work is very important, people has to go first. People is one of the key elements.
Rafa, thank you so much for taking the time to respond to my question. So it was a real pleasure to have you in this podcast.
Thank you very much. It was my real pleasure as well.
Don't forget to share, subscribe, and give us a good rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you like this episode. We also appreciate your comments on the show. Just drop us a note. Your feedback drives our improvements.